Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Judas' betrayal of Jesus is perhaps the greatest crime ever committed. Even the betrayer was filled with remorse for what he'd done. Today, lessons we can take from the actions of a man who was close to Jesus, but so very far away. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, more in our series simply called For Us, tracing the events of the last week of Jesus' life on earth. Now, Erwin Lutzer concludes a look at the dark heart of Judas, the betrayer.
And the Bible makes it very clear that Judas never did trust Christ. Jesus said on one occasion, "Didn't I choose 12 and one of you is a devil?" And then in John 17, Jesus again very clearly shows that Judas was not a part of him. The other disciples belonged, but Judas didn't. He was there in body, but he was not there in soul. Jesus, 3 years living in the presence of Christ, had never captured the heart of Judas. Money did that. Jesus didn't. There's a second lesson, and that is that remorse doesn't save anybody. We won't look at the text, but the Bible says in a couple of places that Judas was filled with remorse. Filled with remorse. But that didn't save him. You know, there are people today who live with guilt and they regret what they've done, and they live with that regret and they think, well, you know, I've done this regret. I've done my duty in terms of paying it off. And they may think that they are thereby saved, but they aren't. You see, Judas died, I'm sure, because of self-hatred as he thought about what he had done. And some of you are living today with self-hatred because of the remorse, because of what has happened in your past. You are filled with remorse. And I'm here to tell you today that that remorse does not count with God. All that counts with God is what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and remorse is bearing my own guilt away from the presence of Christ, who is able to speak me clean. And I say to you today, don't live that way. It can lead you down the same path that Judas took. Don't live with remorse. But remorse will never save you. Bring that remorse in the presence of Christ and say, "Here I am, a sinner needing to be saved. Forgive me. I turn from my sin to the only one qualified to save me." You say, "Well, Pastor Lutzer, if after Judas had taken this money and had thrown it down in the temple, if after that he had repented, would he have been saved?" And the answer is yes. The man who committed the most spectacular sin in the universe, the betrayal of the innocent Son of God leading to the murder of the Son of God, could have been saved if only he had turned to Christ and said, "I've been a hypocrite, I've been wrong, my sin is overwhelming, forgive me." Can't imagine that Jesus would have turned him away. He'd have said, "Friend, I forgive you." I speak to those of you today who think that you have committed sins that are too great for you to be forgiven. The issue is not the greatness of your sin. The issue is the wonder of the forgiveness and the righteousness that God credits to sinners. That's the issue. And no matter how much you have sinned, You cannot out-sin grace. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you should sin in order that grace may abound. No, I'm not saying that. But no matter the greatness of the sin, you pile it up and God says, let me see your mountain of sin and I will show you a mountain of grace that is greater than your sin. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. But for Judas, it was water under the bridge, too much water under the bridge. And he couldn't have the heart at that point to turn back to the Savior whom he had so cruelly spurned. There's a final lesson, and that is that the gate to hell is often right next to the gate to heaven. Imagine this, folks. Just imagine it. With Jesus 3 full years. Judas was there when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Judas was there and he heard it. He was there to see the gracious words that proceeded out of the mouth of Jesus as Jesus held little children in his arms and as he went about doing good and doing miracles and preaching the Sermon on the Mount. Judas heard it all. And yet is known as the son of perdition and is lost forever. Right there in the presence of Jesus, here's the gate to heaven, here's the gate to hell, and Judas took the wrong path. What that means candidly is that some of you are here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior. Some of you who perhaps have heard the gospel preached from Moody Church, as it is every single Sunday, and you still persist in saying no to the only one who can speak you clean and present you to God faultless. Right here at Moody Church is the gate to heaven. It's also the gate to hell, and they're next to one another. There are many different epitaphs in the Bible, and knowing that I shall die, hopefully not too soon, but it'll happen, I've often thought, what would I like to have written on my tombstone? The Bible oftentimes gives us real hints as to what should be written on people's tombstones. For example, I think that despite David's great sin, I think David, if you were to have a tombstone, it would probably be a man after God's own heart. Saul in the Old Testament said, he wrote his own epitaph when he said, I have played the fool. That's a pretty good description of his life. I've played the fool. Now I'm going to tell you something that should really bring tears to our eyes. There's an epitaph for Judas, too. When Jesus said of Judas, it would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Wow. Imagine, would have been better if he had died as a child playing outside. Would have been better if he had died in his mother's arms. Would have been better if he had never been conceived. What an epitaph. Would be better if he had not been born. Because what the Bible clearly teaches is this. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God. So hear me carefully when I say that. Unless you are born twice, it would have been better if you had not been born once. So I have to ask you, and now we're just talking to one another. Not talking to the person sitting next to you. I'm talking to you. Are you born again? To the everlasting credit of the disciples, when Jesus said, one of you is a betrayer, they asked that question, is it I? And so I'm asking you today, is it you? Back in the year 2000, Rebecca and I had the opportunity of going to Oberammergau and the Passion Play there in Oberammergau, Germany. And I have before me the soliloquy that was used in the Passion Play at that time. It was a soliloquy that was used for Judas, and the person who played the part of Judas recited it with deep passion. Let me give you a good part of it. Where can I go to hide my shame, to cast off the agony? No place is dark enough, no sea is deep enough. Earth, earth, open up and devour me. I can be no more. I've betrayed him. The best of men I've delivered into the hands of his enemies to be tortured and executed. Where is another man on whom such guilt rests? I am a contemptible traitor. How kind he has been toward me. How gently he comforted me when dark dejection oppressed my soul. How he warned me when I was already harboring this shameless betrayal. Accursed Satan, you've made me blind and deaf. You tempted me to do this deed and dragged me into this abyss. I'm not a disciple any longer. I'm hated everywhere, despised everywhere, berated as a traitor even by those who seduced me, exiled from human society with this blazing fire within my gut. Everyone takes flight from me. Everyone curses me. Still, there is one whose face I wish I could see again, the man to whom I could cling. Woe is me, for there is no hope, there's no redemption. He's dead, and I'm his murderer. Cursed hour in which my mother gave birth to me. Am I to drag along this martyr's life any longer? Endure these tortures within me? Flee from others as no one afflicted, as one afflicted with the plague? I can't bear it anymore. Not another step shall I take. Here I will bring to an end my accursed life. Come, you serpent, coil yourself around my throat and strangle this traitor. Jesus asked a very provocative question. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and seldom am I out of words, but I don't know exactly what to say. To think that Judas continues in that agony even today, and to think that he was in the circle of Christ's disciples. And so all that I can do is to ask you as I ask myself, is it I, Lord?
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up Jesus Betrayed for Us, the second message in a series simply called For Us. Next time, join us for Jesus on Trial for Us. For Us is a five-part series we'd like you to have on CD. It's our gift to you in gratitude for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.